Yeah, Steve's gone, and he's down in Alabama. I hope he missed the storm. They got quite a storm down in that part of the world. You know, I mean, even in Alabama, they get the rains, they get all the nasty weather that comes in there. So it'll be interesting. We'll probably hear some stories, but I know down in Atlanta where my daughter is, it's very wet. It's been raining and raining and raining. They got a lot of water there. So anyway, today we're in a time, and we've been talking about this a lot. Keziah at the end of her song was talking about getting to know God. And basically this message is about getting to know God, getting to know him. And, you know, it's interesting in the disciples, the Lord's kind of drawn me into this whole deal about knowing God and his ways. You know, it's just, a lot of people go to church and they get going in the church stuff. And church is great. We have a great group here, great body. And the desire of the heart of God is that we would know him. It's the knowing of God that we're really going to kind of talk about today. And the disciples were in the same boat. If you think about the disciples, if you have in Luke 11, verse 1, then he was praying in a certain place, and when he stopped, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." Pray. Why did the disciples have to ask Jesus to teach him to pray? This all was stirring in my heart because I was in a prison meeting here last month, and I got done with this praying for, the men. I always have an altar call, and then I go around praying for the men in prison. It's something I've done forever. I just figure they need prayer. You know, they don't have anybody to pray for them. So basically, when they come to the meetings I do, I just don't spend the whole time preaching and teaching. I spend 15 minutes. We only get 40 minutes. We spend 15 minutes calling them up and praying for each and every one of them that wants prayer. And a lot of them come. Anyway, there's a young man that came up to me, got baptized, and he was talking, and I said, "Well, do you know how to pray?" And he said, "No." I said, "You've been baptized and you've been a Christian for a month and a half and you don't know how to pray. Anybody taught you how to pray in this institution?" He said, "No." And it got me thinking. And the Lord said, it's like the Lord just prompted me and said, "You know, a lot of people in the church don't know how to pray." And then the Lord brought me to this scripture. Then he was praying in a certain place, and when he stopped, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray." John was teaching his disciples to pray. Did he offer to teach these guys to pray? Not until they asked him. But they saw him pray. And it's an indication that prayer is a little more important in our lives than we think. Actually, the disciples didn't know how to pray because in their culture, the priest did all the praying. These guys didn't have to learn to pray. They had all been prayed for, the priest. They went to the temple and asked the priest, and they prayed. They prayed for him. Well, that's kind of true in the church today. There's only, years ago, the church, the intercession movement got started back in the 80s. I was involved in it when it got started in the Northwest. And a lot of people expected the pastor to pray. Somebody in the church, they like this one. It was little old ladies, little old grandmas. They were the ones that were doing the praying, you know. Like I used to tell men in prison, I said, "You're here because, and you're saved today, Because you had a mother, grandmother, grandfather, some little old person that was on their knees crying out to God that you would get saved. And guess what he did? He brought you to prison, and guess what happened? You got saved, didn't you? That's right. And the reality is that we have intercession. We have intercessors that pray. Today, we have this specialty group, and they're called intercessors. They pray. Well, I got a hunch. I don't think that's how Jesus set it up. In fact, I'll go to the scriptures. We're going to talk about that. Jesus taught him to pray. He went like this. And then we go over to Matthew 6. And here's what Jesus said. But when you pray, go into your most private room, and closing the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. Isn't that interesting? That's what he told these guys. Now, you know, I've read that for years, but I didn't realize until recently that the disciples, the Jewish disciples, were afraid of the Father. They were afraid of the Father because the history, all the stuff God did, they were afraid to get near the Father. You know, they'd heard the story. When Moses went up on the mountain, came back down, what happened? And Moses invited these guys to go back up, and they said, no, you're going up. I'm not going up there. I'm not getting near him. And then when he came down and all that ruckus went on, what did he do? Jesus took a whole bunch, or the Father took a whole bunch of them and took them out. That scared them too. They saw God. They were more afraid of God. They saw the plagues. They heard all the stories about God. Guess what? They didn't pray. They didn't have a heritage of prayer. And all of a sudden Jesus said, when you go into your most private room, closing the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. That's an amazing statement. It's a very powerful statement. That just isn't for the disciples. That's for every one of us. Did you hear that? Everyone. There's no one that gets excused from this. You know, and we in this church are extremely blessed because Steve Watson is an intercessor. There's not a lot of pastors that are intercessors. But Steve is. We're really blessed. I mean, when I first came to this church and I found out, well, of course, I met Steve in the intercessory prayer room over here in Richland at Louise Foskett's house. He was brought to that meeting we used to have in this town that went on since 1944. And Steve showed up, and he used to come and wonder what was going on with all us intercessors. Well, guess what he became? An intercessor. And when he started this church, I understand this church was built on intercessors getting together in his basement, Roger and Rebecca and a whole bunch of them. That's what they did. They got in God's presence, and they founded this church. George and Jane, a whole bunch of people came and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. That's how you birth a church. That's how we birthed the Vineyard Church when Sherry and I came here with five other couples and started the Vineyard Church over in Kennewick. That started out of a home group in our house over in Bothell, Washington. We prayed and prayed and prayed. We used to have about 15, 20 people. That's how it started. So intercession is what we have to do. It's what God's called us to do. Now, the reality of what's going on here, though, it's far greater than that. The Father God, who is spirit, he's a spirit, right? God is a spirit. Guess what he wants to do? Meet with us. Meet with us, all of us. No exclusions, no exceptions. You don't get to turn it over to somebody else and say, you do it. He wants you. He wants you. Right? Does he want you? He must want you because he saved you. He drew you. He wants you. He saved you. Now he says, let's have a relationship. Let's meet. How do you have? Can you have a relationship by yourself? Kind of hard, isn't it? I mean, I know a lot of people think they can. They can go hide away. But you can't. You can't have a relationship. You have to have someone in your life who wants a relationship. Well, guess what your father does? He wants to have a relationship with you and I. And that's his deal. In fact, everyone who gets born again should have a relationship with their father, right? Well, if they don't have a relationship, if you don't have a relationship with him and you don't want to spend any time with him, what do you expect him to do for your life? See? Prayer is far greater than praying a bunch of prayers about the family and the friends and all the pain and suffering and everything we're going on. The Bible says, God already knows. Verse 8 says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. He already knows that. What is this prayer life about? What is this deep prayer life about? What is this secret place life about? What is this intimacy thing about? It's about you knowing your God so he is able to give you the revelation that's on his heart. Actually, it's deeper than that. It's about giving you the seven spirits of God. Isaiah 11. The spirit of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of the knowledge of God, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. You and I, as Christians, spirit-filled Christian, the spirit life is designed to function on the seven spirits of God. Wholeheartedly, everything we do should be in the Spirit. Why? Who's the Spirit? God. We got God. See, a lot of people don't believe, they don't even know what God is. But when you tell them he's a Spirit, I mean, how do you wrap your hands or your mind around a Spirit? Huh? This culture today is so full of all the evil spirits, all the evil going on, but it forgot that God's a spirit. And we have to know him by the Spirit. What did Jesus tell the woman at the well? A day is coming when you will worship God in spirit and in truth, for God is a spirit. You and I got to get that. Because if we're not willing to go into the secret place, we're not able to develop a secret place life, if we're afraid of the secret place spiritual life, if we're afraid of coming into the presence of God and staying there and waiting. Wait. You mean I got to wait? What happens if it takes 30 minutes? I can't wait 30 minutes. I haven't got 30 minutes worth of time. I got this today. I got project. I got everything under the sun. 30 minutes for God? You got to be kidding me. Hello? That's where we live. No, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I haven't got 30 minutes for God. You got 10 minutes? I don't know. Pretty tough. Have you got an hour? Have you got an hour? Have you got 2 hours? See, the reason why the church is in the condition it's in, I believe, is because it doesn't know it's God. They don't know the Father. They know a lot about him, but they don't know him. And see, what God is saying to us, and he told as disciples of Jesus Christ, this is what happened to these guys. Now, the Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out here yet. But I bet you when the Holy Spirit got poured out, they embraced this wholeheartedly. They went there. Well, the Holy Spirit's been poured out. We're the temples of the Holy Spirit. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. And this should literally shake us to the foundation of who we are. I believe.
And I've yet to find anybody that's arrived in this. I don't know anybody.
There was one guy roaming around here, been in this building a few times, Bob Jones. I think he was fairly close. I think Bob kind of got it. But there's not many Bob Joneses running around the country. There's a few. I got a hunch there's a few unknown ones hanging out there. And you'd never know it until you got in their presence and got around them. You would know it. Because the glory of God would be all over them. But what I'm really trying to get us to understand, and what I have had to understand, and I just touched the tip of this, is that do I really know my God? Do I know him? You know, Paul said, I don't know if I know him. It was, 65 or 67 years old. He said, I don't even know if I know him. You're kidding me? Paul? Why was he there? Because he had a revelation. And he saw this. And he knew this. And you and I, how many would say the world's in a tough shape? Anybody here say the world's not in tough shape? We've got a few. It's in tough shape. It's a mess. You know why it's a mess? I believe because the church quit praying. It just absolutely quit praying, and I think it happened back in the enlightening 60s when they threw prayer out of school and they began that movement. Today, people don't pray at all. They don't even pray in church. They don't pray in church. You know, it's amazing. We don't have a large congregation, but we got quite a bunch of people that pray. You go to these other churches. You know how many people show up? 5, 10. They got thousands of people in them. Nobody shows up. Why? Because they expect the leaders to do it. They expect somebody to do it for them. They've never been taught to pray. And if they don't know God, well, here's the amazing thing that blows me away. If you don't know God, what are you going to do when you pass out of this place and you stand before him in heaven? Do you know him? Did he know you? Well, the word said, I'm saved. But think about it. If you don't know him here on earth, what's going to happen when you get to heaven? It's just kind of a logical progression to me. You don't know him here on earth. If your spirit is not alive here on earth, where you're willing to spend this time getting to know him, what's it going to be like when you stand before him? You ever thought about that? The Bible says he knew your spirit before the foundation of the world. He called you to come alive in a time such as this. He set you all up for this. And then he says to these disciples here, but when you pray, go into your most private room. Now, I'm not, you know, it doesn't have to be a room. Believe you me, in the institutions, the men in prison don't have rooms where they can go and shut the door. They just don't have it. Now, they do have a cell, and the door gets locked automatically. But they do not have a little room. They don't have a little closet in there where they can go in there and do their thing. It doesn't work that way. I'm not saying you have to have a room, but I'm saying you have to have a place. This has to be in our hearts so powerfully that this is what we do. Well, I don't have time. Well, I guess we'll talk about that. The amazing thing about when I was studying this thing, the Lord showed me, says, what? It says here, who sees you in secret, he will reward you in the open. You ever wondered about that? He's going to reward you in the open. And here's what he's going to read you. He's going to reward you with in the open. He's going to give you the Spirit of the Lord in the open. When you're out in public, and you're around the lost and the unsaved and the hurting and the wounded, and you have this spirit in you, guess what happens? When it's in you, that spirit can be seen and known by the people around you. Did you know that? You actually, I don't know, some people carry a light. But some people just have that peace and that presence in your life. You can talk this stuff until you're blue in the face. I got it, I studied it, I did this and that. Talking about it and living in it are a whole different world. Whole different world. You can go to all the seminaries, all the training, all the teaching, everything you want. But living this with this spirit life in you is a whole different world. You have to participate in the Spirit. How do you get the Spirit life in you? You go hang out with God in the secret place. The main reason for the secret place is so that the Holy Spirit can begin to speak to you in a quiet place and let you know who He is. And you're going to get the Spirit of the Lord when you're out in public. You're going to get the Spirit of wisdom. You're talking to somebody, the spirit of wisdom comes on you. God shows you what's in their heart. That came right out of this here. And then you get the spirit of revelation. Does God, you ever been in a situation where God just gives you the revelation? You know in your spirit what's going on. That happened to anybody here? Happens to me all the time. I know it happens to a whole bunch of you. We have got to live here. But if we don't go into the secret place, we're not going there. Do you understand? You can't get this, you have to literally wait on your, why does Jesus tell us to wait on your Father? Wait. You get the spirit of counsel. How many of us in here are always counseling somebody and helping somebody and trying to encourage somebody, and people come to you where you work or where you are and they bring problems to you? Anybody that happened to that? I bet you're a whole bunch in here. See? He does that, doesn't he? Where do you get the wisdom? Where do you get the revelation? Where do you get the counsel? And then where do you get the might? You get it from him. He'll give you the might. The might is to pray for him right there. That's where the power is. You lay your hands on him and pray for him, and you watch God heal him. What do you think of that? That's what we're supposed to be involved in. This should be a constant thing in this life. But if you don't spend time in the secret place, you won't do this. See? The secret place and living in knowing your Father is the key thing that we have to do. I believe. Because guess who's hooked to the Father? The Spirit. God's a Spirit. God is a spirit. He's a spirit. We know about the spirits because in our whole our culture, all around us are people who are involved in evil spirits, aren't there? They're everywhere. They're all over the place. Why? Because Satan's been messing with this planet for how many years? Long time. And there's all kind of evil going on. But greater is He, the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son that is in me than he that is in the world. Correct? Do you believe it? Well, if that's the case, then I have, and I know my Father, then guess what? And I have the seven spirits. I have the spirit of might where the signs and the wonders are and the knowledge of God. You know, there's a difference between about God. I read about God. There's a whole different world than of God. Of God means that the Spirit of the living God, the Word of God, the power of God, the life of God is in me and I know it. And guess what? Wherever I go, I carry it with me. But I think one of the greatest ones is the fear of the Lord. The fear. The fear of the Lord. Paul was in the prayer room. We prayed about the fear of the Lord. We have to have the fear of God. That doesn't mean God isn't sitting up there in heaven with a big club waiting to get me when I mess up. That's not the fear of the Lord. It's the reverential awesomeness that we get to know our God. You realize how privileged we are? How set apart? How awesome you and I are because He created us to know Him.
He gave us a spirit. When we got born again, that spirit came alive so that we can know our God. It's not that we don't have to do works for our God. But we don't do them with the works attitude. We do them with the heart attitude that God gave us to do the work. It's like cleaning up this parking lot out here. See? Or anything around this church we've done. Painting. All the stuff we've done. It isn't so we were out working for God. You can't. My old Bob Jones, I remember I was in a seminar up here in Yakima. I don't know. 98, 97, 98. Had all these pastors and leaders. We went up to this thing. And Bob Jones, boldly in front of all these people. There's about 300 people in there. And he said, if you think you're working for God, I got good news for you. You're fired. Because what he says, you can't work for God. If you work for God, you expect a reward. That's not how God does it. He isn't going to hand you a paycheck, or he isn't going to come up and give you attaboy. Oh, he did a great job. Attaboy. That's not how he does stuff, is it? He rewards you in the open. But it's a reward in your heart. It's a spiritual connection, a spiritual relationship. That's how he rewards you, doesn't he? That's how he does it. It's how God rewards us. He brings these people in our lives. And guess what we get to do? We get to pray for them. We get to encourage them. We get to love them. We get to love them. We get to learn to love him. And God even brings a bunch of people in our lives that are actually called unlovables. Anybody got any unlovables in their life? Huh? We get them all the time in the real estate business. I get them all the time. I know Dan gets a few. We get them. I don't know about any other business, but in our business we get lots of them. So what do you do with unlovables? Huh? You got to love them. But if you don't know your God, how are you going to love them? Huh? Do you hear that? If you don't know your God and the Holy Spirit isn't flowing in you, how are you going to love them? You can't. Do you understand? I know it's elementary, but it's critical we get this in our spirit and understand how our lives are designed by God to be lived out in the spirit world, in the Christian spirit-filled world. That's how it is. Who set the rules up? God did. And you and I are to do what? What did Jesus say in John chapter 14 three times? You must obey my commands. Obey, obey, obey. Obedience. In fact, it says that obedience is greater than sacrifice. All are called to be disciples, right? We're all disciples of Jesus, right? Do we agree with that? Or you're in a process, let's say you're in the process of becoming a disciple. Every one of us. Well, if we're all disciples of Jesus, we're all called to be in the secret place, and to be secret place dwellers. Hello? That's what we're called to be. There's no exceptions. Nobody gets out of this deal. But God, He keeps drawing us, He keeps wooing us, how many times has He put people in our lives to keep poking at us and test us and stuff that come in your life? What do you do with them? And sometimes you get frustrated. I say, you know, Lord, I'm about tired of this. I don't want to do this anymore. Anybody been there? I've been there a few times. I'm done with this, Lord. In fact, I asked God a few years ago, I said, Lord, I'm kind of done in this prison deal. It's been hard here the last few months. Should I quit and go do something else? He said, never said no. You know, he never said no, did he? I was hoping he would, but we're in it. Why? Because God has to take us in a place, a lot of us, that is going to make us uncomfortable and keep us there. Why? Because he has to break our hearts. He has to break our hearts. All I can do is look back
25 years ago, and my friend Monty Christensen hauled me into a prison in Monroe, Washington. I had to go there to learn to know God. Really. That's really what happens. You have to, God has to put you in a place sometimes that is very uncomfortable. You don't want to be there. But guess what you do? You're going to learn to know Him. He's going to be there with you. And you can pray, oh God, take me out of here. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Dangerous, dangerous prayer. Because He may not do that prayer. He may not answer that prayer. But I tell you one thing else. Pretty soon your heart will get softened to what He wants. You won't worry about what you want. You'll just kind of do what He wants. See, that is one of the benefits and the rewards of the secret place life. You get to a place where you're touching His heart, and He gets to touch your heart. Now, I got to get to my notes here. The issue, one of the main issues why people have a hard time going into the secret place and is because most struggle with their father, earthly father relationship. And, you know, and it's kind of an interesting deal. The father issue is a hard issue because a lot of people didn't have the best father growing up. Many have been wounded and hurt by their father. You know, we live in a culture, we live in what we call the fatherless generation. I happen to believe that the fatherless generation is a trick and a trap and a ploy of the devil to keep us from, so to keep those that don't have fathers or those that had abusive fathers, those that had were abandoned, those that were molested, those that have been messed up by their father, with lack of whatever, that imprints an image on your mind who the father is. I believe that. Especially in prison, it's like 98% of the men in prison are fatherless. If you can take a group of people and make them fatherless, why would they want anything to do with the father? And that's true. That's proved out. But you have to realize when you got born again, and most of you know this, you happen to get a new, pure, loving, perfect father. But here's one of the problems. If we don't understand this father relationship, we don't understand this secret place relationship, and we won't go to get to know our father, then how are we going to really trust our Heavenly Father? It's the trusting of the Heavenly Father we got to move to. And I believe that God is trying to change our hearts that way. Because we've got to understand that our earthly father is nothing like our Heavenly Father, first of all. Our Heavenly Father wants to lavish all the blessing of heaven on our lives. He wants to give us. In fact, think about it. God has given us this eternal life. He's given us this life with Him, with all the blessings of heaven. Right? But if you don't know Him and you don't trust Him, you'll have a hard time receiving those blessings. Right? You always kind of put this wall up. How close am I going to get to you, God? You know, I don't know how to trust. I don't know how to have this relationship. And God shows us in His Word how to get rid of this stuff, because what He does is He sets us up so when we know Him and we begin to learn who He is and we begin to spend time with Him, He brings this peace. He brings this humility. He brings the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. He begins to bring us this love because He is love. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 say that God is love. God is love. God is love. And he wants us to understand that he is love, and all the relationships, all the past pain, all the hurts, all the stuff that we've all gone through, he will help us and deliver us and reconcile us and help us get free from all that stuff. Why does he want us free? He wants us free so that we can worship him in spirit and in truth. Right? Literally, you signed up to be free. The concept of being free in the spirit means that you don't have any, there's nothing holding you from being with your God. There's nothing. There's no past. There's no offenses. There's no judgments. There's no condemnation. It says in Romans, no condemnation has come to man. We get free of the condemnation. We get free of the judgments. We get free. But it's in the spirit. And if we don't function and flow in the spirit, we always hang on to it. You know what I mean? You know, we hang on to the past. You know, believe you me, if we could see in the spirit, there's a lot of folks walking around with these big trunks on their backs, carrying all this stuff. And you can tell them they can get free. But see, the problem is they don't know how. And you can tell them to trust God, get to know God. And they may do it for a short time. But they don't know how to really get free. And God's called us to get free. He's called us into this freedom that is amazing. It's so amazing when you get free that the bondage, there's no bondage of any man, anybody in your life. You don't have it. It's gone. Does it happen instantly? It can, but it takes time, because you and I live in a culture today that's all wrapped up in offenses. The whole Facebook thing is about all the junk on there. It's all about offense. It's all offense. You've offended me. You hurt my feelings. You did this. You did that. We live in a whole culture of this sucker. And it's terrible, because what it does, it keeps us bound to men. And the Father set us free from that, hasn't he? And the only way you're going to get free from it, I believe, is to know your Father, go into the secret place, and let him download this peace. And then put amazing forgiveness in your heart for those who have offended you. It takes amazing forgiveness. You got to have the forgiveness. You can't go around carrying the stuff that our culture's asked us to pack. I feel so bad for all these, you know, all this liberal teaching they got, because what it's done is heaped all this stuff on our young people. They believe they have to live up to a standard, a man's standard, they'll never, ever, ever reach. And here's God, arms wide open, hearts exposed, saying, no, you don't have to live there. You can get free. You can get free. Because the Bible says, he whom the Spirit has set free is free indeed. And the greatest feeling you and I can have as a Christian, as a spirit-filled Christian, is that we're free. When we're free, guess who is near us? Guess who is alive in us? God is near us. The Holy Spirit is alive in us. We are these temples of the Holy Spirit. And this, I believe, is where the Father has chosen to dwell powerfully. That's where we got to go. Literally, that's what you signed up for. Look, the day you got born again and your spirit became alive, this is the path God's got you on. That's it. It's not complicated. It's not religious. It is so far away from, it's the opposite of religion. Religion's job is to keep us bound to men, not to God. That's the whole deal. It's all bound up in men.
the rule and the power and the control of man. The Holy Spirit, let me ask you a question. Do you think you can control the Holy Spirit? Ain't no way, baby. You know what happens when we start to control the Holy Spirit? He goes like this. Bye-bye, see you later, I'm out of here. He just kind of
gone.
He's gone. Well, no, he can't leave. We're the temple. Well, I'm sorry. He takes off. Because he can't be in control. And man be in control. Can he? You can only serve one master. It's what the Bible says, right? One master. Are you going to serve the spirit life or are you going to serve the religious life? And I believe there's a move and an awakening in this whole country to awaken the church to embracing the Holy Spirit life. Embracing the secret place life. Embracing the love life. Embracing what God's up to. That's what I believe. And I've seen it happen over and over and over again. It's called the love message. Because what does love do? Perfected love, the perfection of love in us, casts out all fear. And the fear of man is, I believe, is at the center of our bondage to men. It's at the center of it. Because we're always looking for some man in our man or woman in our life to literally intervene in our life, be in our life, run our life, control our life. And guess what? It ain't going to work. We're looking for our boss. We're looking for somebody to do it. Uh-uh. Guess what God says to us? You got to rise up. I gave you all the stuff to do it. How come you're not free? Well, you know, I don't mind someone controlling me and speaking trash into my life. It's okay. I can believe that. You know, it doesn't work that way. When God sets you free, you got to get free. He's called each and every one of us to be free in Him. Totally, totally, totally free. When freedom comes, where does the pain go? Got to go away. You can't hang on to that pain once you get free. And when the pain comes knocking on your door in a different form or a different way or a different method, what do you do to that pain? You say, Satan, get out of here in Jesus' name. I believe the Lord, one of the first things God wants to do when we begin to develop the secret place life, He wants to heal our hearts of the past wounds, of past relationships, offenses. Who today in your life has offended you that you're still carrying? Anybody know anybody in their lives that you're still hanging on to? It's time to let go of it. The Spirit's here. Holy Spirit's here. It's right here. In fact, you know, we don't even have to say, come Holy Spirit. We say that. But guess what? We're the temples of the Holy Spirit. We just have to ask that the Holy Spirit would be stirred up in all of us. That's all we got to do is ask for it. He'll stir it up. God loves to stir the Holy Spirit up. Did you know that? He loves it. Because that gets us in a good mood. That'll get us laughing and dancing and jumping and having, what was Steve call them, the wowies? Wooies or wowies? That's what Steve likes. Why do you get that way? Because you're free. You haven't got the old past tugging on you. The could-haves, the would-haves, the should-haves, if the onlys. How many get attacked by the if-onlys or the could-haves, the would-haves, the should-haves? We all get it. Do we have to live there? No. We can get free. See, the real issue, though, is what price are you willing to pay to get free? There's the question. Because what have you got? What is the resource God's given you? He's given you time, talent, and treasure, right? Time, talent, and treasure. What's the most valuable? Anybody? It's time. Time. We're living in a culture we don't have any time. Yet we want God to take care of us. God says, hey, are you going into the secret place? You're coming into the secret place. You're going to come to know me in the secret place. I haven't got time today, God. You pray without ceasing. It says in Psalms, pray without ceasing. I haven't got time today, Lord. I'm kind of busy. I want to get rid of that offense. Are you willing to invest your time in getting rid of the offense? What am I going to have to do? You're going to have to get in the secret place. You're going to have to cry out. You're going to have to call. You're going to have to call out to him and say, oh God, oh God, oh God, show me, reveal to me what is the offense that I'm hanging on to. I'm tired of this pain. I'm tired of this addiction. I'm tired of this judgment. I'm tired of the words that were spoken over my life. I'm tired of it. I want to get free. Let's go in the secret place and pray about it. Or get some friend, some intercessor, some friend, some prayer warrior, somebody who prays, and have them lay hands on you and pray for you that God will reveal it to you. And ask him to get rid of it. Because you've got to get rid of it. You will not believe how many older people I know that are still hanging on to all this junk from the past. And they're miserable. They're mad. They're angry. I run into them all the time. Bitter. They never got free. You know why? Because nobody ever told them they could get free. It's just like, you know, the deal with the dog being tied to a chain forever and ever and ever. All of a sudden, let the chain go. Where's the dog go? He didn't go anywhere. Because that's what he's used to. No one told him he could be free. We can get free. And I am one of these people, I absolutely believe 100% that we're to get free. I don't care how old you are, I don't care how young you are, you've got to live a life free so that God, by the Holy Spirit, can flow through your life and do what he wants to do. If you're free, you will be free enough to talk to people about Jesus wherever you go. You won't. They'll just pop up in your life and you'll talk to them. There's a few in this room. A few people in this room. They're not afraid to talk to people about Christ. They're free. They don't care what people come back with them at. They don't care. Why don't we see more evangelism in the church? Because the church has got to a place where they're looking for the specialist evangelism to come into their church and bring the evangelistic message. That tells me the people don't know the Father. If you and I go into the secret place, what is going to be on God's heart? John Chapter 3, 16 says, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son for you. That should be coming out of every one of our mouths. That should be in our heart, because all around us people need Christ. And guess who the people are? He's appointed to bring the message. It's us. That's what I've spoken about today is all the benefits of the secret place life. The question is, do you want to hang on to the past? You want to keep in bondage? Do you want to get free? What do you want to do? You have to make a decision. Or I guess you don't have to make a decision. You can just keep going the way you're going. You know, there's no man, you know, there's nobody can make a decision. To help people, to do whatever. You can say, oh, just keep going on, man. I'm okay. That's up to you. Praise God
that the Holy Spirit is alive and well, and that the conviction will come from him. Right? It's going to convict. I mean, God's in the room. If he's convicting you, he's convicting you, and you'll do something about it. And don't let anybody rob you of what he wants to do. And don't let anybody come and say, oh, brother, you really don't want to do that. You know, you sure you want to do that? You don't want to get too excited about Jesus. Come on, man. Tame it down a little bit, you know. Just calm her down. Calm down. You're too excited about Jesus. There's too much passion in you for Jesus. Oh, don't get too excited. Then you get around a bunch of people all excited about Jesus, and all of a sudden your passion goes, well, I got all this excitement about Jesus. Then you go out and hang out with some other people. And your passion goes like this. I'm around those folks. I don't dare get passionate. Wait a minute. Are you either passionate about God or you're not passionate about God? Either your magnificent obsession and your whole life is given and you gave your whole life to him when you got saved, or guess what? You're holding back. And I'm here to tell you today, you don't want to hold back. And the question is, do you want to get free? That's what you signed up for. Right? Signed up for that? Everybody sign up for that? Yeah, I don't know. Was it going to cost me? It's going to cost your life. What do you got to give? You only got one life to give. Give it. Don't worry about it. Enjoy giving your life away. Enjoy it. Have fun. Yeah, I don't know about that. Well, it's up to you. All I am, according to the messages, is an errand boy from Jesus. I brought you a message. You got to figure out what you're going to do with it. We gave it. It's blessed by the Lord. It's got his anointing on it. The Holy Spirit's in it. So what are you going to do about it? If you're here today and you've been struggling to know your God, we're going to invite you to come up and pray. Is the prayer team here today? George, is that your crew? Yeah. You're on George's crew. Come on up. We need you guys. If you're struggling to know this God, don't be ashamed. Just say, you know, I'm having a hard time knowing you, God. And we'll pray that God will make himself real to you. There's a way to pray this thing in. But we have got to become a church. It's going to take more intercessors than the 10 or 11, 12 that show up on Wednesday night to go where God wants us to go than we got. And he's calling some of you back into the prayer room. And guess what? Come on. Well, Wednesday night, gee, what's on Wednesday night? There's got to be a TV show or something. I got something to do. I mean, you know, I got this. Come on, it's time, the church, we got to get alive. God's got a prophetic anointing on this church to function in this. It's what he called us to do. So, question is, are you going to step up? If you're here today and you want prayer for anything, but you're struggling with this, come on up. And then if you're having a hard time realizing and accepting God as your Father and that you got to go into the secret place, come on up. We'll pray for you. I'll close this in a general prayer, and then we'll our young man back there put some music on and we'll get with it. So, Father, we're thankful. God, I just thank you, Lord, for that you love us so much. You love each and every one of us in this room. You love us, God. We're thankful. We're thankful, thankful, thankful. And, Lord, we're so appreciative, God, that you saved us, you've delivered us, and you've called us to go deeper to know you. We want to know the height of your love, the depth of your love, the width of your love, and the awesome bigness of your love, your great love. We want to become lovers of God and deliverers of men. So, Lord, just raise up this church today. Raise up this congregation. And, Lord, we just thankful everyone that came today. Amen.